Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. We've been studying. I hope you have those pages. Sorry for, I have no perforated holes because the stables have electricity cut down and all the machines go electronically. I told the lady, can you do it by hand? So, oh, no, it's a lot of work. All right. So I have it here. All right. And we're going to look into this material. I'm going to read slowly Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. And here you're going to see there are some remarkable visions. They can be questioned. And I don't know if you ever saw, but the University of Alexandria questioned this section, saying that because John was isolated in confinement in an island alone, he maybe had these illusions in his mind and so on. Now, professors, I discovered through the wall of the internet, professors talk to one university to others, and thank God for the English language that breaks the barrier of Arabic language and so on. And the professors in Oxford told me, if you can match the beasts of Revelation 13 with the only place in the Bible where those beasts were revealed, Daniel, the book of Daniel, where Daniel was the only man on this earth that God gave the plan how long the earth is going to be and so on, then you are safe from the allusions of what these allegations are. And so it took a long, long hours, and I even got the imagination in making some drawings for you. So that because I want to know how awful these beasts are in my mind. So I read Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, and then we go through the paper together. The Bible says, God's holy word says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns. And upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." I'd like you to move your Bible to the book of Daniel, and we're going to start looking into Daniel chapter 7. So if you move your Bible there, that's where the interpretations of the great colossal. Now, you remember that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has a dream. And in that dream, God gave him the picture and the time sequence of the entire world. At that particular time, Daniel, who was the smartest of all the keys from Jerusalem, he asked questions to the angel as where this means and what time is it. And so we're going to go through that for 45 minutes. And my heart was satisfied. I hope yours is true. Now, 48 years after Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, and the people in the world date this. I did not. The people, I copied this, B.C. 555. Daniel in vision stood upon the shore of the great sea, that the Bible called the Mediterranean, the great sea, and saw four great beasts come up out of the sea in succession. And I'm going to read it for you in Daniel 7, verses 1 to 3. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another." Now remember, Revelation saw the beasts coming up out of the sea. And so here is where Revelation is the culmination of these. Now, the first beast is on Daniel chapter 7 and in verse 4, and I read it to you. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made it stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to eat. Now remember that, a man's heart was given to eat. Now the peculiarity of the first beast, and I'm going through the paper because it's a lot of detail, was that it had an eagle wings. So you see the picture over there of these beasts, a lion with eagle wings, all right? This combination of the lion, the king of the beasts, and the eagle, the king of the birds, corresponded to the royalty of the head goal of the Colossus. In other words, remember the picture of the Colossus of Daniel, the head was of gold, and typified the eagle-like swiftness of the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar conquered land without waiting time. And so he was a fierce like a lion and quick like an eagle, all right? The plucking of the wings doubtless referred to the beast's insanity. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, verses 20 to 27, described the God, because that Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was God, then God plucked him down. And so God in the picture here gave Daniel the idea that God plucked the wings out of the king so that he was not more with power. And the lifting up and causing to stand upon it his feet as a man to his restoration and sanity. In other words, when Nebuchadnezzar thought that he was God, God unplugged his power from him. Then God, because of his repentance, God gave him power to work on. So the first beast that Daniel sees is the head of the empire of this world, and that was the Iraq empire, Nebuchadnezzar. Now Daniel chapter 7, verse 5, please. And the Bible says, and behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it raised and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So I'm going to go to my paper in page 95 to discuss this. The bear is the strongest beast after the lion, and it's distinguished for its voracity, destroy everything. But it has none of the agility and majesty of the lion. A bear is awkward in its movement and effects its purpose with comparative slowness and by brute force and sheer strength. And so the bear has to represent an empire who is brute, who is powerful, but no smart like Iraq. So I got some thoughts for you. These were the characteristics of the Medo-Persian Empire. And I have to read a lot of history in order to know these. This is a briefing from a book. It was ponderous in its movement. It did not gain its victories by bravery or skill, but overwhelmed its enemies by hurling vast masses of troops upon them. Xerxes' expedition against Greece was undertaken with 2.5 million fighting men who, with the camp followers, made up an army of 5 million. Other Persian generals had armies running up into the 100,000s of men. It is easy to be seen that the movement of such enormous bodies of men would devour much flesh, not only in the destruction of their enemies, but thousands will die of disease and exposure, and the countries through which they pass will become famine-striking by the loss of their food size to feed such an army. The side of the bear which raised up to attack signifies Persia, and in which lay the greatest military strength and corresponded to the right shoulder of the arm of the Colossus. The three reeves stood for the three kingdoms of Libya, Babylon, and Egypt, which form a triple alliance to check the Medo-Persian power, but were all destroyed by it. So this picture describes the shoulder of the Colossus statue of the dream of Daniel. All right? Now, we go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, the third beast. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. I read it again so that you will see the description of the empire here. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of folds. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. The leopard is the most agile and graceful of creatures, but its speed is here still farther assisted by wings. You have a leopard who is fast, and on the top of that, a leopard who can swim, who can fly. All right? Now, slight in its frame, but strong, swift, and fierce, its characterized render it a fitting symbol of the rapid conquest of the Greek under Alexander the Great, who followed by a small but well-equipped and a splendid, brave armies, moved with great celerity, and in about 10 years overthrew the unwieldy forces of Persia and subdued the whole civilized world. In 10 years, at the age of 33, Alexander the Great was the commander-in-chief of all the world that we know. What a picture the Bible describes. The four wings of a fowl indicate that as a fowl does not fly high, the armies of Alexander were fitted mainly for lowland fighting. There is an incongruity between the number of wings and the number of heads of the leopard. Four heads call for four pair of wings. Why only four wings, we do not know. See, some people go to the detail. Okay, the guy has four heads, and when you have a wing, you see a bird. I never saw a bird with one wing. They have pairs of wings. So somebody asked the question in one of the books in Alexandria, oh, this vision is wrong because it means the wing. And so I say, four wings, we do not know, unless they denote the four quarters of the earth into which Alexander sought to extend his kingdom. Alexander went into four places only to extend his kingdom, and my suggestion is that perhaps that's what it is. Now, in page 96, I said the four heads of the leopard represent the four kingdoms in which the empire of Alexander was divided by his generals, namely Thrace, Macedonia, Syria, and Egypt. The third beast corresponds to the abdomen of the hips of the Colossus. And so we have the golden hair, Iraq, then we have Persia, and then we have these beasts described as the abdomen, which is then Greece. Now if we go to Daniel 7 and verse 7, which will take 7 and 8, we have the four beasts, ugly. After this, I saw in the night visions, said John, and behold, a four beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and it stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, all these beasts describe only one person. You will see at the end, the Antichrist. All right, let's talk a little bit, and we're going to really talk serious about this. There is no more beast. This is the last. The fact that the four beasts had iron teeth and that there were 10 horns on each head, the iron corresponding to the iron limbs and the 10 horns to the 10 toes of the Colossus would cause Daniel to see that the four beasts stood for the four world empire, which start from Rome, the Roman Empire. After that, there is no other empire to raise up in the world. That's the last one. But as Daniel considered the 10 horns, he was amazed to see another horn, a little one, come up among them, and before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots that it destroyed. And as he examined the little horn more closely, he noticed that it had eyes like eyes of a man and the mouth of a man speaking a great thing. Let's see in Daniel 7 and in verse 8. Daniel 7, verse 8. I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horn plucked up by the roots. And behold, in these horns were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. What an awful things God is showing to Daniel. So I say in page 96, these mystify the troubled Daniel. He had seen nothing corresponding to it on the 10 toes of the Colossus. Now remember that Daniel has to explain this Colossus, this statue, to Nebuchadnezzar. But God is revealing further information privately to Daniel. Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar just a summary, but now God is giving details on it. It must mean some new and additional revelation that God had not seen fit to impart to the Gentile king Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel approached one of the heavenly messengers that stood by and asked him the meaning of what he has seen. He was told that the four beasts stood for four kings of four kingdoms that should arise out of the earth. Look in verse 23. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the four beasts shall be the four kingdoms upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. All right, now let's go to page 97 in our study. Then Daniel wanted to know the truth about the four beasts, which was so diverse from the other three, and particularly about the little horn that came up among the 10 horns on its head. To comfort his servant, God, 2 years later. Now, so don't get discouraged. If you read something, you cannot understand it for a while. Here's Daniel, 2 years later. 2 years later, transported Daniel in vision to Shushan, the capital of Persia at that time. And as he stood on the bank of the river Ulai, he saw a ram which had two horns, one higher than the other, and the higher came up last. He saw the ram push westward and northward and southward, and nothing could stand before it, and it did according to its will. And let's see that in Daniel chapter 8 in verse 4. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And so while Daniel was considering what the vision of the ram really meant, he saw a he-goat come from the west unmolested, and he noticed it had a notable horn between his eyes, and when it reached the ram, it was moved with choler or anger against it, and it smote it with fury, and broke its two horns, and knocked it down, and stamped upon it. Then the he-goat waxed great, but when it became strong, its great horn was broken off, and four notable horns came up in its place. And out of one of them sprang a little horn, which was exceedingly great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, which is Palestine. And I'm going to read it for you from verses 5 to 9. This is not my invention. This is what God said. Poor Daniel. I tell you, if you have that kind of vision, it's amazing. Daniel chapter 8, verse 5 to 9. And I was considering, behold, and he, goat, came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had the notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with a choler or anger against him, and he smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which was exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And the Bible, the pleasant land is Palestine. Now, I hope you're still going, because this is important. When Daniel saw for the meaning of this vision, he heard a voice who said, and Gabriel did that, and look at chapter 8, verse 15. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as appearance of a man. Verse 16 now. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Gabriel was the angel. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon his face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So now this is the last thing, Prelo. Verse 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright and he said, behold, I will make thee known what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at that time appointed the end shall be. And so I will say, Gabriel then informed Daniel that the ram stood for the Medo-Persian Empire with its two kings. And the two kings were Darius and his nephew Cyrus. That the he-goat stood for the Grecian Empire, the great horn between the eyes for its king, Alexander the Great, and the four horns that took the place of the great horn stood for the four kingdoms into which the Grecian Empire should be divided. Now, this explanation cleared up things considerably for Daniel. It revealed to him that the two horns of the ram, one higher than the other, and the two shoulders of the bear, one higher than the other, and the two arms of the colossus, stood for the same thing, the double empire of the Medo-Persian Empire. He also saw that the four horns that came up in the place of the gray horn correspond to the forehead of the leper, and therefore must correspond to the abdomen and hips of the colossus, and stand for the Grecian Empire and its four division among the generals of Alexander the Great. But Daniel was still trouble as to the meaning of the little horn, and I will still trouble myself, that he saw come out of one of the four horns of the he-goat, and Gabriel told him that it stood for a keen, fierce countenance. And let me read it for you in verses 23, Daniel's 8, verses 23 to 25. And in the later time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentence shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of the princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now, when Daniel had the revelation that the little horn should come out of one of the four kingdoms into which the empire of Alexander the Great was divided, he was not at that time told which one. But 20 years later, in the year BC 533, the information was imparted to him in a four vision. He saw in vision two kings warring against each other. One was called the king of the north, and the other the king of the south. And you have to read for these Daniel chapter 11. This chapter, chapter 11 of Daniel, is one of the most wonderfully microscopic as to prophetic details of any chapter in the Bible. It corresponds exactly with the profane history of the king of Egypt and Syria for over 350 years. From verse 5 to verse 31, we have an account of what is called the war of the kings of the north, Syria, and the kings of the south, Egypt. These end with the close of the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes in the year 164. And so verses 32 to 35 cover the whole period from 164 down to the time of the end. That is until the 70th week of Daniel are fulfilled. At verse 36, willful king appears. And from that verse down until the end of the book of Daniel, we have an account of what is to befall Daniel's people in the latter days. As the description of the willful king correspond with the description of the little horn and the four wild bees and the little horn of the he-goat, and they will all appear at the same time, the time of the end. So Daniel get the idea that the prophecy, that the statue that he revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar is a graphic of the description of God for this earth. Daniel understood that they refer then to one and the same person, and as the willful king will be the king of the north, that is of Syria, Daniel saw that the little horn was the king of the Syrian horn as the he-goat. In other words, the little horn of Antichrist shall come out of Syria, and as Syria include Assyria, that the little horn of Daniel is the same as the Assyrian of Isaiah when the Lord had performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem. I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria, the Antichrist, and the glory of his high looks. So I will break the Assyrian, say God, the Antichrist, in my hand, and upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them as a burden from all the shoulders. So we must not allow ourselves to be confused by different names given to the Antichrist as the king of Tyros, the king of Babylon, the king of Assyria, For that section of the world will comprise one territory in the days of the Antichrist and will be known in all its titles. So what God is saying is this. There will be a modification of geography. And there will be a modification of powers. And so when you go to Revelation chapter 13, God is saying over there that the time for this is at hand, because in Revelation chapter 13, John stood upon the sun and saw a beast come out of the sea. In other words, God now is revealing to John the end is coming. The end is coming. And so when you compare that exception with the Daniel 7 as we did, we come to only one conclusion. And the one conclusion is this. There will be an absolute end of this world. And we are living on these times of the end. We are living in the Roman Empire, not from Italy, from Rome, but we are living in the Roman Empire characterized by this. Humanity is God. And we are living in that period. Now, to give you an idea, the news in Europe, if you turn the British broadcasting of CNN, or the BBC, the British Broadcasting. You can do it on the PC. There is a way to hook and get the channels. I learned it yesterday. And so I was listening to the BBC, and with this volcanic expectation, they were saying this. There's nothing that we can do. We need to be prepared for hunger and destruction of wealth, the man said. This volcano, about 200 years ago, erupted for 2 years. And if this happened today, we all die economically. Now, it is amazing that the volcano did not lower itself, but keep the crystals of the volcano, because they are microscopic crystals, up at 30,000 feet high. Raquel was asking me, how this happened? Well, the power of God, it went 30,000 feet. Feet high. Take a plane about half hour to go to that place. Take God 1 second. And went right there. And they keep it there. And all this economic power of Europe, all this glory of Europe is gone. And if they keep it in that way, will be gone. And people will be hungry, they said, in London, because they import food from other countries. You will not have tomatoes all the year around. You will not have oranges all the year around. You're going to depend on your own land. I thought to myself, how great is God? He's going to bring us back to where we started. We plant something and we eat this month this, the next season we eat the other, and the next season we eat the other. And with this remarkable aerodynamic world in which we live, took 1 second of God to say to the volcano, okay, shoot a little bit. And the whole thing is confused. But I said, so I want to hear the conclusion. And the man was talking and talking and trying to explain to the British people, we need to be aware that we cannot eat as before, because this thing is going to keep on going and nobody is going to fly. And he said, and we cannot do anything. This is nature, they said. See, that's another name for God, I thought. This is God doing the thing. Now, the man was saying, call it a science man from Germany, and said, next to that volcano is another volcano, twice as bigger as this volcano. If this volcano get the idea of going up, then the whole thing, the whole European territory, which is, he said, one third of the population of the earth, will be shut off. I said, well, I read that before. And so I cannot say we are at that time, but are we getting closer and closer to the end? Now, there is one satisfaction to all of you and to me. The believers will not suffer, said the scripture. The believer will be carried through. But would the world recognize that we are seriously heading to the big judgment of God? No, the world not. The world will give all kinds of excuses. The scientific people, here is Professor so-and-so. I wish they give a phone number because I was ready with my Magic Jack to call to England to say, Professor, have you ever read the book of Revelation? You know, because here is this science man trying to explain we are powerless. And those beasts, you see one beast raised and the other beast raised and the other raised. And now we come to the moment that they are powerless. And Daniel said, what is this? Well, the prince, the kingdom of God is coming. And when the kingdom of God comes, it makes all the difference. So also I saw that in this, that God is in favor of saying the Antichrist will operate from Assyria. And that's his name. And so I thought to myself, and this is just a thought, I thought to myself that the Antichrist will settle, all the movements against Christ will increase in Syria and try to disturb Israel. Israel care less about that because Israel don't like Christ anyway. So Israel is united to that idea. And so the idea of the whole movement against Christ is coming from the territory where Christ was coming in. But with that being controlled in the next study, God's willing, not the coming Sunday because we don't have evening service, it's the last Sunday of the month, but the Sunday to follow, I'm going to follow Revelation then and move on. I'm now enthusiastically seeing that God is not giving you a date. You know how ridiculous to say that day, that hour. No, God is saying, now watch for these events because these events are not just isolated events. Do you count it how many earthquakes asked the BBC in a section, they tell you there were 14 earthquakes in 1 month in the world, from 4.9 to 6.9, never seen in the history of the world. And they said, well, maybe the earth moved a little bit out of the center. Yeah, where's the center? Christ. No, they move a little bit, they move a lot out of Christ. And I'm writing to the BBC, sir, I find out how much we move at the center of the earth. Oh, we moved totally out of center. You know, we no longer Christ is the center of the earth. It's just man, the fourth empire, the Roman Empire. Man, that's everything. To the Italians, mankind is the supreme creation of God. And God said, they don't recognize me. See, so I'm satisfied of this, with this study. John did not have too much wine that night and dream this. John was not so sorry that he was alone in the island and he started hallucinating. John was now revealed what Daniel was revealed. And John is telling us events for us to watch. No dates, so we don't become involved in that, but events to watch. Now, be sure you're saved. That's what I wanted to say. I said to myself, Pastor Otero, what should you learn? I said, I'm saved or not? Be sure you are saved, because you are saved. Doesn't matter what happened. Where we go? Into the presence of God. Thank you, Father, for this study tonight. In my humble interpretation, I'm satisfied that I know Jesus, that my daughter knows Jesus, my wife knows Jesus, my three girls know Jesus, my brother knows Jesus, my church knows Jesus. And so we're going to have fun in heaven one of those days. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, it was very hard, but I hope I don't confuse you. If I confuse you, well, that's all right.